When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
This is the Past Lives Podcast, episode 238, and I'm your host, Simon Bowne. My mission here at the Past Lives Podcast is to investigate evidence that demonstrates survival of the human soul. We will look at past life memories, near-death experiences, spirit communication, and other incredible phenomena. And if you want to hear the extended version of this episode, please join the Patreon campaign. And this week I'm talking to Jeremy Downs about his book, Stumbling Toward the Sacred, An Unexpected Journey to Personally Knowing God. Jeremy took a pile of Amanita muscaria mushrooms, a legal substance known to deepen perspective and creativity, but an accidental overdose nearly killed him and took him into a fascinating near-death experience. Hi, Jeremy. Thanks a lot for coming onto the podcast.
Hi, Simon. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
We wanted to talk about your book, which is called Stumbling Towards the Sacred, An Unexpected Journey to Personally Knowing God. So it all started, I believe, with an order of some mushrooms that came through the post. Can you tell us about those mushrooms?
That's precisely what happened. I probably took the mushrooms I ordered more lightly than I should have. I thought it was a very mild mushroom. I didn't think it was really a true psychedelic. What I consumed and purchased a bulk amount of our Amanita muscaria mushrooms, and unlike the psilocybin, they call them the hippie trippy mushrooms that are getting really popular, doing a lot of research on right now. They're also illegal in most states in the United States. This is a different type of mushroom. So rather than psilocybin being one of the main, chemicals that react with your neurology, the Amanita muscaria has two active ingredients, ibotenic acid and muscimol. I never know if I'm pronouncing it muscimol or muscimol, but it's M-U-S-C-I-M-O-L. They are totally legal, not recreational. I bought a couple large bags of dried Amanitas, thought I would, have a few maybe with my morning coffee, perhaps increase my creativity. And rather than that, I consumed all of the mushrooms at once. Some of that was a conscious decision, some was not. I just kept going as the mushrooms encouraged me to do so. And then next thing I knew, I had a full-blown psychedelic experience and had some serious health issues also that occurred after consuming what was at least 3 ounces of dried mushrooms. As being conservative, I had two piles, handfuls that I consumed. So I think they're typically a pretty safe substance, but if you go to an extreme, use a large amount like I did, they can definitely have adverse health impacts, and you can poison yourself. There's a toxicity level if you consume a large bulk, which is what happened to me.
So it started out, I believe you took some of them. You felt like, well, nothing's really happening, so you got some more.
Precisely. Yeah. So what I decided to do, I had the wife and kids were at home, and I was pretty casual about it. So I had a mixer, a blender that I used. So I, filled it up with the dried mushroom caps, and I put a shake in there, a protein health shake, to make it taste good, So I consumed them that way. That was my method. And initially nothing happened. I had this large, drink and kind of guzzled it down. And then nothing happened for a few hours. So I thought, I knew it was pretty mild usually. So I'll just try another one and see if anything happens. So I had consumed another large, blender full. And then I felt absolutely horrible. Felt just terrible, sick. I was drooling and I thought, oh man, I'm really sick and I just feel awful. I'm going to sleep. So, at that time I just went up to bed, basically just blacked out and went to sleep. What I did not know, I wasn't aware of, afterward, my wife said that I fired the blender up at least one additional time, maybe two, and ate all of the mushrooms. I didn't even remember doing that. So, that's what happened. And then, I guess if you'd like me to get into my experience that occurred after I sort of passed out from consuming all of them.
You started having dreams, didn't you? It wasn't that you went straight into like a near-death experience. You started having dreams that were they quite intense? They're like the hallucinations that maybe the mushrooms were bringing on?
Definitely. And I honestly don't remember the first initial experience I had, right off the bat, I guess you'd say. So I do remember, basically blacking out, going to sleep and feeling very poorly. And then I do remember seeing a lot of imagery and letters and images and different things basically in my sleep. Then at one point, everything became, very, very vivid. And I kind of passed over a threshold literally and figuratively in my experience where all of a sudden things weren't jumbled. I was having pretty stereotypical psychedelic experience, I think you'd say. So I was in a white hallway where I basically stepped into a hallway and everything was stark white, the ceiling, the floors. And it was a long hallway with panels all, down both sides of the wall. I compare it to going to like a Walmart, a store where they have all the TV monitors you look at when you go shopping for electronics. But in this hallway, each large panel, as I walked down and looked on the wall, was an actual place. So I could peer through these panels like a doorway to a different reality. And I started looking through them because I was fascinated. And I realized as I looked through several panels that these were places I was familiar with. So I saw childhood experiences, woods and different areas. And then I even looked in some of the panels and I saw places when I was younger and earlier in life that I wanted to travel to and visit, like in the neighborhood or, and near my community, places that I remembered wanting to go to that I never did. So I looked through and saw these locations. And then I had this vivid feeling or a realization that I could actually step through these panels and I would be able to go to those places. So, I think this is somewhat of a typical, type of experience. People, see different images and see things from their past and vice versa. So while that was going on, it was really fascinating. But when things changed, so I would just call this a psychedelic experience. Things changed, however, pretty dramatically. I started feeling this intense chest pain, really, really intense. I mean, to use a metaphor, it felt like someone was using a sledgehammer and just dropping in on my chest. And so, in my sleep and through this experience I'm having, I realized something was seriously wrong. And the chest pains started to become more and more powerful, really intense. And then at a certain point, I just knew I knew I was going to die. So that's sort of the transition that occurred when it went to what I would describe as a near-death experience. And I was having this excruciating chest pain, I was very worried. And then pretty much with a blink of an eye, I talk about the process in the book in pretty vivid detail, but I all of a sudden was going forward to the end of this hallway, and I saw black, and I was having this excruciating pain, and then I was suddenly pulled up and went up into the atmosphere, is I guess the best way to describe it. I went up, I could see, as I literally rose up, I could see my house below me. I could see my town, you know, the streets and the power lines. And then I kept going further and further up. You describe it as just going up into the sky till I was high up. The planet was below me. And then I sort of just had this trajectory where I just shot into, literally just shot into outer space.
I wanted to ask how your perception was at this point, because we all know how it feels to be in dreams, but I'm not sure your dream was a normal one. When right. you were shooting up into space, did your perception suddenly change from being dreamlike to being just like normal waking state, or was it more than that?
No, that's a great question. So I would describe, you know, initially it was more of a dreamlike state, and then there was a transition period where I was elevated, I would describe it as being warped into outer space. And then when I went, you know, basically into the solar system, I mean, I could see planets, I could see stars and all these, you know, different areas off in the distance. I then became 100% sober, so whereas initially I was going through this you know, mushroom intoxication and hallucinating and having this sort of dream state, it transitioned to being in another place and being completely sober. I describe it in the book as I felt like I was standing in the snow naked and having water dumped on me. I mean, I was just totally awake, more awake than I typically am. You know, and I wake up in the morning and have a normal day. I mean, I was just completely aware of myself, completely aware of where I was. I could see it. I could see, you know, planets and solar system off in the distance. And, I would just call it, I would say more sober than being 100% sober.
At this point, when you were experiencing this, there was a sentence in the book which I thought was interesting. You said it wasn't like traveling through three-dimensional space. So what did you mean there?
Yeah, so no, exactly. When I was talking about it, it's hard to explain. But when I was making this, you know, kind of migration, or, you know, I'm moving from Earth into this other place that I'd describe as, I guess, you know, the solar system. I mean, I was out in space. As I transitioned, I saw different, I would call them dimensions. I mean, as you're going, you kind of see different planes, different places, and you realize you're going through other realities. And as you move from one place to the next. So after this happened, I understand. People talk about dimensions and you know, some of these, you know, theoretical concepts. I understand it after traveling through. I guess you describe it as literally being able to see other planes of reality, other dimensions, as you are, though, traveling straight upward and straight through to a specific place. But you can see those other, areas and dimensions around you that you're passing through. And, you know, a lot of religion, I think talks about these things, such as, Christianity talks about heaven and hell. You hear a lot of belief systems, and, you know, I would, at this point, after experiencing this, I just think of them now as different dimensions, different places that we don't experience in our typical daily 3D, you know, reality that we know of and we're aware of here.
And when you were traveling like this, did it feel just kind of random, or did it feel like someone or something was directing you?
No, it definitely, I knew it was intentional, and I was, and remember, I'm having this chest pain and I'm, you know, pretty terrified. You know, I knew something was wrong, but I knew I was being, you know, transported or taken, you know, moved to a specific place intentionally. And that was clear to me as I, you know, just went from here, our planet, to another place.
This description you have of being in a kind of transdimensional reality, which you're saying that you still cannot begin to conceive. But when you were there, was it really overwhelming, or did you just quite happily go through it?
No, I knew something was wrong. So all of a sudden, you know, I was basically, it felt like I was being yanked. You know, it was almost like one of those old movies where you're on stage and you're having a bad performance and the cane comes out and yanks stage. Well, that's how I felt. I felt like I was just being yanked, you know, off stage to another place. I was scared, and I did think that, you know, I felt this chest pain, this excruciating pain. And I thought, oh, you know, I'm dying. I'm going somewhere else. And, you know, I thought at that point that I was going to die. Those were the emotions that were transpiring, but at the same time, I'm watching this fascinating occurrence at the same time. So it's pretty overwhelming. You have kind of, you know, fear, and then, you know, it's fascinating, and then you have no idea what's going to happen next. So I guess that would be the best way to describe it.
And you talk about your memories being removed. It wasn't a thing where you just forgot stuff. It was like you were being shown that your memories were being removed.
Yes. So when all, you know, after this transpired, I went to a different place. It was very black. I mean, I know I was with, you know, with God, the creator, you know, however you want to describe it. I mean, it was a presence, this huge, overwhelming presence. And then little me, you know, right there. And then I saw a white marble table in front of me, and I saw total black. And then way off in the distance, I saw solar systems and stars and planets. And I looked, and I just had, you know, I knew, like I was being told without hearing words, that that was what was created. And so, you know, then at that point, I knew what was happening. I mean, I thought, oh, you know, I'm dead. You know, that's what I thought at that point. So I had this, you know, one-on-one with this being, you know, the God. And as I said, you know, I was very aware, very awake, very sober at this point. And then there was an intentional, I would call it, you know, like a fleecing of everything I knew. And I just saw it just pull away from me intentionally. And I was made aware of what was happening. And so by fleecing what I knew, I mean, literally, you know, my family, where I was from, all my prior knowledge, it was just removed as I looked forward at this, you know, kind of blackness in front of me, which was, I was looking at God, but didn't see him, but he was there, him or her. You know, probably God. I don't think God is male or female, but God is God. So that was occurring. And then the point of that, which was, you know, conveyed to me, was this is you, you know, the core of who you are. And you're here with me, and I'm looking right at you. Almost like a judge, I guess, you know, it'd be like a judgment scenario you kind of hear about in a lot of, you know, religious contexts. But everything was gone, and it was just me and the creator, and I was completely terrified. So at that point, nothing was relevant, and I didn't remember anything. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who you're married to or what you do for a living, vice versa. That's gone from your mind, and it's just you and God. And at that point, I thought I was, you know, going to die. And of course, you know, when a lot of us are here and we have religious practices and things like that, that's fine and dandy. But when you're in a situation where you really believe this is it, you step back and say, okay, are the things I believed in true? Is is my religion, quote unquote, or whatever I believe in, correct? And, you know, you basically you have to make a choice and, you know, stand on what you do or don't believe in, because that is the time, I guess you'd say it's the time of reckoning, you know, like as we discussed. So at that point, I started begging for my life, because I, you know, I continued having this chest pain, really severe pain in my chest, started begging for my life. And then, you know, I had a Christian background growing up. So I didn't know what to say. So I just started yelling, you know, this is what I believe in. This is what I'm putting 100% on. And I started yelling, Jesus, I love you. You know, Jesus, I love you. And then I thought that was it. Everything was black. So, I didn't know where I was going next. Didn't see any pearly gates or anything like that. And then begging for my life in an instant. And my chest is hurt so bad. I'm just, you know, kind of blacking out. And then I shot back down to the planet through this kind of traversed backwards, the same experience as when I went up, saw different linear planes and dimensions, and then saw down below my house, went right back into my body. And as soon as I hit the ground, I guess you'd say, went into my body again, I was completely inebriated again, completely mushroom intoxicated. So I went from that sober experience, terrified, screaming, begging for my life, coming straight back down and being under the influence back in my body. But I knew what had happened. I mean, I knew exactly what had happened. So yeah, that was the, you know, the life and death experience I had.
Hello, Simon here. Every week I produce an extended episode of Past Lives Podcast, and these episodes can be 20 or 30 minutes longer than the 1 hour episodes. They contain amazing information from the guests. For just $5 a month, you can get access to the back catalogue of Past Lives Podcast extended episodes, as well as the weekly extended episodes. It's easy to sign up at patreon.com/Past Lives Podcast. The extended episodes are ad-free and are released 2 days before the free versions. The link is in the show notes. You said that during this near-death experience, you had this pain in your chest and that it was coming and going maybe once a minute or something, and that the pain was intentionally caused by this God and that it was to teach you something. Is that right?
Yes, no, exactly. So when I was going through this, and I knew I was having these health issue, and I knew I was going to die at the time. It was conveyed to me that this was intentionally being allowed to happen. That you know, the message to me and what I learned, one of the things I learned through this was that God controls life. God controls death. We're just lucky to be here, and we're basically a speck of lint on a jacket. You know, we're these microscopic creatures, and we're just lucky that we exist. And he was letting every time my heart would beat, the message was he let it beat, and then he would let me just die and fade away, and then boom, let a heart beat, and I would kind of be back. And so, you know, it was like God was intentionally showing me that he was letting me survive because he was choosing to do so. And, you know, that was how I learned, you know, not only did I learn about creation and how to respect that concept of creation, I actually saw it. And then I realized my place within creation and our place within creation. But, you know, I also realized, not through fear, like being scared, quote unquote, of God, but just understanding the reality of existence, the universe, and the creator, you have a deep, profound respect. And him, you know, just letting my heart beat and letting it wane, and then showing me, you know, I can just let you die at this point, and I'm just slowly, barely keeping you alive here to teach you a lesson, or just not a lesson, like, punitive lesson, but just to convey a message of something that I never respected or understood my whole life. And so it did, it changed my perspective since this occurrence. And it changed my appreciation and respect of, you know, my life and then the God of the universe, which is, you know, what I believe I encountered through this experience.
Because you say in the book, you had absolutely no idea which God this genuine God was. So even though you had like a Christian background, you didn't straight away assume it's the God of the Bible?
Exactly. And that was, you know, kind of what I was referring to a few minutes ago. When you believe, you know, we can believe anything, but when reality hits, you know, and you have an experience and you know, okay, I may believe something, but this is the actual truth, you know? And did I know the truth? Were the things I believed in real? Were they true? And so when this happens, you know, you don't know for sure. You know, I guess a good example I would use is, you know, like a professional athlete. You know, you train and you have a lot of experience, and then you get to the final game, like, you know, if it's American football, you get to the Super Bowl, right? So you go to the Super Bowl and you think, I think I know what I'm doing. I think I know what it takes, but this is reality. I'm either going to lose or win here. You know, and so that's, it's interesting. I mean, you can believe in what you believe in, you can believe in yourself. But then you find out what is true. You know, I mean, that's just the nature of things, I think.
When this God was showing you that it could allow your heart to beat or stop your heart, the God was doing it in a kind of indifferent way, or the God was kind of enjoying it or didn't like to do it, but knew it had to teach you something?
Yeah, that's a great question. I like that concept and explaining it, and kind of I learned something important from that, which is God has every right. This is what I felt and experienced. God has every right to be indifferent. I think a lot of people, you think about themselves and their reality, and you know, a lot of people are selfish, but the truth is that God can be completely indifferent, and that, you know, we're just lucky that he lets us live and lets us survive. And I think even though it was a pretty terrifying experience, and it seemed, it felt and seemed as though God was indifferent, and that was his message to me, like, I could just let you die right now. But the message that conveyed, you know, through the whole situation is, because there's a love there, because God actually does care about us, only because he decides to, that's why we survive. You know, in other words, he doesn't need us, but he decides to. And I would call it a love. You know, there's a care there. He decided to create life and decides to let us keep going and survive. And that was my experience that I learned through that. So there was an indifference. That's a really good way of describing it. However, it was a point being made that I don't have to let anyone live. I don't have to create anything, you know, God would, you know, say, but I choose to. And that was a pretty fascinating thing to learn. It helped me understand a lot of religious, you know, biblical concepts. And in my opinion, this is kind of what I wrote about in the book, you know, that respect and reverence that Christians call it the fear of God, but it's not a fear like something you're scared of. It's respect and reverence and understanding creation, which, of course, biblically, that's in a lot of other religions too. You know, the Bible, Genesis, it's the story of creation. That's really the starting point, in my opinion, for Christianity, for really following and knowing God personally. And then, you know, a real belief system centered around God. So, you know, of course, my context is biblical, and that's what I believe in. But I think those two things that I learned through this experience that reverence, and you know, the understanding creation really would help me to actually truly engage in a religious experience, you know, through things I'd read in the Bible, learned as a kid, just never really clicked. I never really understood or respected. And that was a starting point for me going forward. So it wasn't, the book isn't about the near death and psychedelic experience. It's not that, but it's written as the starting point for the rest of the book.
And before the near death experience, were you living a life that perhaps God would have looked at and thought, you know what, I need to teach this guy a lesson?
Well, I think yes. However, not the way you would stereotype that. So I had a pretty, in a positive way, stereotypical, you know, life, suburban life. So good job, great kids and family. You know, everything was positive. I didn't have any sex, drugs, and rock and roll issues going on at all, you know? So, but I think that the problem and the challenge that I did have was everything was great in my life and personal life, but my spiritual experience was pretty vanilla. And by spiritual experience, I literally wanted to have a personal relationship with God. That's what I believe a spiritual experience is. And if you're Christian, it's through his son, Jesus Christ, and you can get into that. You know, it's like a real religious discussion, but that was what I wanted. However, it wasn't as though I was having struggles and troubles. I just wasn't having a real engaging, I don't want to like to say religious, but spiritual, I guess you'd say, experience. So, you know, what that looks like is, you know, you go to church and you do the practices and you, you know, sing the songs and try to read your Bible and do all that. But there wasn't anything deep and real in that experience for me. I wasn't actually engaging with God. If you read the Bible, it talks a lot about the Holy Spirit, you know, things people aren't comfortable talking about, right? So the Holy Spirit of God speaking with people, you know, helping people say what God wants them to say. And you have all these very real, you know, depictions and things described in the Bible that occur when you have that type of relationship with God and that experience. But it's rarely discussed in church and churches and, you know, Christianity. And I wasn't experiencing those things. So through this kind of, I guess you'd call it a kickoff, in my opinion, this was my real salvation experience. I mean, I was 100% after this dedicated and motivated, 100%. I didn't have other priorities other than getting to know God. And that's where the journey started for me.
Can I ask you also about what happened in the house while you were going through that? Because your wife called 911 and then you came walking down the stairs.
Yeah, and that's a great point to talk about, you know. And it's interesting, tell me what you think about this, but I'll tell you what happened in my opinion. So exactly, I was laying in bed, so I was at first like making gargling sounds. And she thought something was wrong with me health-wise. And then I started, I started saying things and she was really worried. So she went down and called, you know, 911, called the police. And she just told them what happened. Look, my husband, you know, he didn't mean to do this, but I think this is what's going on. That he consumed a substance and is having problems. And I'm worried about our safety because he's saying things. I was up in bed, though, while this was happening, and while she was on the phone, I walked down the steps to the main level. That's where she was on the phone, on the main level, and she, you know, it's 100% her description after the experience that she told me, what she told me occurred. I walked down the steps, and I had, she told me, completely coordinated demeanor, but my stature, my posture were completely different than normal. So you know, the way I presented myself, the actual gait, the way I walked, the way I, you know, the posture I had. And then I walked up to her and started speaking fluently in French. And I don't know French. I took French in junior high and I had horrible grades. So, you know, I could probably order maybe something to eat and for, you know, speaking in French, and I was speaking fluently. And then I switched and started speaking some type of African dialect, she said, where the enunciations and, you know, the way the communication was very distinct and unusual. You know, she said it was like an African language I was speaking. And she, you know, her parents speak, I think, 7 languages fluently, and she speaks, you know, she has she's fluent in Portuguese and English. So it's not like it was a bunch of nonsense and she thought it was another language. She kind of has a feel for different languages. And so that's what occurred. And, it, you know, it's very hard to explain because I don't have any knowledge of those dialects, obviously. My opinion is that that my spirit was somewhere elsewhere, and something like inhabited my body till I came back. Sounds crazy, but I don't know a better explanation.
I've heard of this phenomena, and it's called walk-ins. I did an episode about a woman, and this was way back, like 1920 or 1930, and she was in Poland. She was about 15 and she died. And when they revived her, she started speaking a foreign language and they didn't understand her. But over time, they worked out it was Spanish. And she was talking about her life as a middle-aged woman in Spain and how she died. The original, say, personality, the original person never came back. And this Spanish woman continued living in this body and gave all sorts of accurate information about little things in Spain that you wouldn't expect a 15-year-old Polish girl who has never traveled to know about.
That is fascinating. I've never heard of any account like that before. I'll definitely do some research on that. That's fascinating. Of course, you know, from a Christian religion perspective, you know, you've heard of, you know, possession by other you know, demons and evil spirits and forces. And I actually had a friend who had, a family member who told me a vivid story about that, about, you know, demon possession, which I, you know, I've never experienced anything like that, but there are these accounts and things do happen. I mean, in Christianity, you know, the belief is if you are, you know, truly Christian, the Holy Spirit resides in you, and therefore you cannot be possessed, right? That's the belief system in Christianity. And I don't disagree with that. I mean, but I think if your spirit is gone, you know, maybe you're just the physical, you know, I guess a kind of a meat wagon, something can jump in there and take a ride, right? So,
yeah. And there's that idea, like you say, that it's possession, which makes us think of demons and evil. But that right. Girl in Poland, she just seemed to get possessed by a middle-aged woman from Spain. There was no real evil there.
Yeah, that's what's so fascinating about that. And I don't disagree with that. I mean, I think you know, the things we learn about, you know, you read the Bible and their accounts, but everything isn't described, and that doesn't conflict. I mean, that is possible. From, you know, what happened to me, it totally makes sense, you know, that maybe, you know, we are, you know, the psychology, physiology, and there's a spiritual component, you know, and that can actually go elsewhere, and maybe the body survives. That pretty remarkable story. I'll look that up. Thanks for telling me about that.
Your wife said whatever it is that possessed you, or whatever it was, that your body went back up the stairs and went into your daughter's bedroom, but your daughter wasn't at home at the time. And then is it right. That when you came back, you woke up in your daughter's bedroom?
Yes, exactly. So when I came back, exactly. So she recounts, you know, that I went back upstairs. She's on the phone. And then I went into my daughter's bedroom. My oldest daughter wasn't home at the time. So I think she was staying at a friend's house, but she wasn't there. So I went into her bedroom and I remember. So I came. So when I came back, I remember going into that space, into, you know, my body there. And then I remember looking out the window, and when I was coming back, I saw, people outside of my house. I knew what was going on. I knew that the police were there. And then I went into my body, and then, you know, completely, you know, mushroom inebriated at that point. And then, I ended up having to go down. I told the police, and, you know, I'm a little off kilter at this point, obviously, but, you know, I was real cooperative, and I told them, what I had done. I told them exactly the substance. I told them it was not illegal. And then I think I said, I died and Jesus saved me. And they're like, all right, we're taking you in. So because they thought something, you know, was off for sure. So I did. Then I had to go to the hospital. They tested me for, you know, illegal substances, took my blood. Then they gave me an IV that they call, New Start or Fresh Start. I wrote it in the book, but they give you an IV to kind of flush everything out. And then they had me stay overnight. I had to go to the jail, basically the drunk tank. So there's some other guys in there with me. Went through that experience. And then the next day, they did not release me. And I didn't know why, because I thought, hey, you know, they did a call with the magistrate. And they said, yeah, he didn't do anything wrong. He was in his house. Just kind of freak incident / accident. And then they didn't release me. And I didn't know why. And I found out later that they wanted a psychologist to come in and do a full evaluation. And that occurred. And so he came in and interviewed me. And he, ironically, was aware of Amanita muscaria mushrooms, had studied them in college, and couldn't believe how much I consumed. He was totally fascinated. And he started asking me all these questions after doing the interview. And then he said, look, I think it's ridiculous that they have you in here and they're doing this. You're totally fine. But it was an interesting, you know, experience. And then I went home the next day. You know, after I was interviewed, they released me. And then I think that was a Sunday and everything was normal. The following day, that week started Monday. I had an experience, and it'd be interesting to hear if you've heard of anything similar to this, but I had an experience where I started hearing a voice talk to me that whole following week. And so it was almost like a harsh personal coach. So I started receiving all this feedback about, you know, things I did incorrectly, things I needed to improve. And it was talking to me about my communication skills, you know, specifically how, you know, how I need to build an argument and to describe things to people in a, you know, intentional way to convey messaging. You know, all these things I started hearing, like this coaching voice. And then it was pretty fascinating. And then I started to hear more feedback and information and explanation. And even more than that, I felt and understood all these concepts that I had heard my whole life with regard to, you know, philosophical and religious teachings, and, you know, all the way back to Sunday school, like, you know, love your neighbor. And all of a sudden I felt what that meant. And I started just understanding, you know, the Bible, understanding things that had been, you know, I guess I had espoused and kind of read and went through the motions in the past. All of a sudden I started to understand just hundreds of concepts. And it was fascinating. And it all lined up with things that I read in the Bible, things I knew about, but I never really understood, you know, in a valid, true, fulfilling way. And all of those concepts and that understanding guided me to have a personal relationship with God, where I got it. I was like, oh, okay, now I see what this is all about. I understand what religion was supposed to be. And Christianity, for me, what Christianity is all about. And those steps, those sequential steps, starting with what we just discussed, creation and reverence for the Almighty, did I experience, and then near death, real, you know, life experience. And then all these things that I learned the following week, that those are the steps that I put in the book. And it, you know, it's all lined right up with the Bible and verses and scriptures and concepts. I just never got it. I never put it all together. It was never real to me until this experience and then the messaging that occurred after the experience.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So in the long run, then, that what you were saying earlier is that you were looking for a personal kind of spiritual connection, and you got it in the end.
Right. And, you know, well, the interesting thing is, too, the mushrooms had nothing to do with that. I would call it, I kind of like to call it a train wreck with positive results. So, you know, train A would be, you know, completely unrelated to me buying mushrooms. Was I was just experiencing what I described earlier as far as just the vanilla, run-of-the-mill religion, and I wanted more. And then the mushroom piece was separate. I mean, I didn't do that to try to enhance my quote-unquote spiritual life. They just happened to coincide. You know, and that's why the book's called Stumbling Toward the Sacred. You know, just I kind of fell into it literally and figuratively. So it occurred through happenstance. But I would not, me personally, I would not advocate. I'm not saying it's good or bad, but just from what I experienced, I wouldn't advocate using those substances for a spiritual experience. I can't tell in my experience a situation how much of it was a mushroom and how much of it was, you know, like a psychedelic experience, and how much of it was the near-death experience, the brush with God, you know. But there wasn't the purpose of the experience I had. It was just an unintended, fortunate consequence, probably with some divine intervention and wisdom beyond what I had. You know, I just consumed too many mushrooms and fumbled into it.
Yeah. When you were at the police station and talking to the policeman and the psychologist, did you tell them about your experience? Did they kind of say, oh, that's just the mushrooms?
Yeah, I did. It's interesting. This all happened 8 years ago. So I do remember being in the jail and talking to a couple of guards and I don't think I put this in the book, but I remember being in the hospital and there was a police officer there to watch me. And I remember talking to him about, you know, how he needs to know Jesus and have salvation. So I mentioned it then. And then when I was actually in the jail, I did talk to one of the guards about somewhat of my experience. I can't remember exactly how much detail I went into, but yeah, I believe I talked about dying and Jesus saving me. But you know, it was a while ago. What I did to ensure the accuracy of the account was the day after it happened when I went home, because I know that the memory, you know, can fade over time. Some things I remember really vividly from the whole experience, but I went right home and I wrote it all down. So I had everything, recorded just so I wouldn't forget, all the details. But I can't remember how much detail I went into when I talked to the guard in jail.
There's a sentence in the book that stood out to me. I'm not sure if you've covered this already, when you say you were going for a run and there was some entity with you and it had been waiting to get you alone. Is this that kind of like an army boot camp voice you were hearing?
That's exactly what, the experience, that's how the experience was kicked off, I guess you'd say. So the next week, everything seemed normal. And I went, I used to take a jog in the forest. There's a state park there near where I live. So I would run and there's almost no one there. And I'd go run with my dog often during the week. So I started jogging in the forest. And then all of a sudden I started hearing this voice and these messages while I was jogging. And that's when it first really came to me and was distinct. And I just had so many things I was hearing that I was almost overloaded going through this jog. And that's when I started to have all that messaging and what I called a harsh personal coach, and also, started receiving insight. But also, one thing that's harder to explain, I also felt different. I mean, I actually, trying to think of a good way to summarize it or explain it. I mean, one example, I actually felt a love toward other people. And I think I mentioned this in the book, but, in my opinion, the closer you are to God, the more I think that you share in spirit with God. And in the Bible, it talks about the Holy Spirit. It talks about these things as a reality. I felt sincere, care toward others. I no longer felt like, for instance, that I wanted to be friendly or nice to people so that I can get along due to some type of personal benefit. In other words, I want you to like me so we can work together or something of that nature. I sincerely cared about other people. I just wanted to do things for them and help them. And I mean, I literally changed spiritually, how I felt. And then I learned a lot. I had all this messaging and understanding that also came with that.
And has this changed your attitude to money and career and having like lots of material things and a great car and a big TV?
100%. I mean, I just, those are to me just kind of necessary items, like food, you have to have it, but it isn't a motivator. And one example is the book. I mean, I invested a lot and had it self-published, and had it professionally done. And I don't care how much it costs. It's just something I feel like I'm supposed to do, and I'm not, I know I won't make back as much as I invested. It doesn't matter. I'm just motivated to do it to help other people. In my mind, kind of who I would like to have read the book is, people who are suicidal, people who are atheists, people who have given up on religion, because sort of through my experience, I basically mapped my way toward and to knowing God. And I don't think you have to go through what I went through. I think it's just a condition of motivation, personal motivation, and where you truly are. And then I think when those things change in the pursuit of God, I think that you'll change, as you are directed and fully motivated and dedicated to having a personal relationship with the God of the universe, which sounds crazy, but that is what it is. It's what I experienced. And so that's why I wrote the book. But yeah, your priorities wholly change, and you care more about other people and what really matters in life. I think that would be the best way to summarize what changed in me.
Well, it's been fascinating talking to you. The book is Stumbling Toward the Sacred, an unexpected journey to personally knowing God. So do you have any plans for another book?
I always said if I sold enough copies on this to break even, I'll write another book for sure. And I'd probably involve, someone I know, maybe a pastor or someone of that nature. I took out about 30-some% out of what I originally wrote and made it more concise. So I already had a significant amount written that could be used for a second book. So hopefully that happens. I'd love to do that and kind of go to the next step as a message to help people in their walk with Christ, and finding God.
And do you have a website? Do you like people to contact you?
Sure. So the landing page, is stumblingtowardthesacred.com. And then that'll pretty much, gives you a quick summary, has some graphics there, and then guides you to the Amazon link. So I'm selling the book on Amazon.com, Stumbling Toward the Sacred. I sometimes post on Instagram. Never been a big social media guy, but when I'm in the mood, I'll go and I'll put some info in there. So feel free to direct message me if you have questions or need anything. And so my Instagram site is stumbling_toward_the_sacred on Instagram.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you. It was a great conversation. I took notes and I'm going to listen to the podcast that you had that you referred to. That's fascinating.
And I'll put links in the show notes so people can get straight to the book and the other places.
Excellent. Yeah, great talking to you, Simon. Let me know if you ever need anything. And I really appreciate you being on. It was a good time.
And that was an interview with Jeremy Downes about his book, Stumbling Toward the Sacred, An Unexpected Journey to Personally Knowing God. And if you want to hear the rest of this fascinating interview, you can sign up to Patreon. When you sign up for $5 a month, you get an extended episode every week. And for $2 a month, you get an extended episode every month. And the Patreon episodes are ad-free and are released 2 days before the free versions. And please check out my other podcast. It's called the Alien UFO Podcast. And I release new episodes every Monday, and you can find it on almost every podcast app. And I've also added a new tier to the Past Lives Podcast Patreon campaign, where for $12.50 a month, you can get the Alien UFO Podcast extended episodes every week, as well as the Past Lives Podcast extended episodes. And including the Alien UFO Podcast episodes, there are now more than 100 extended episodes available in the back catalogue. You can become a patron by going to patreon.com/Past Lives Podcast. Or click on the Patreon button on my homepage at pastliveshypnosis.co.uk, and the links are in the show notes. And look out for the Past Lives Podcast episodes called Paranormal Stories, and they're released every Thursday. And there is a Past Lives Podcast Facebook group. If you'd like to join, you'd be very welcome. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.